RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice and Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. Very good one this week, the 50th episode this week.
I'm really excited to talk about this episode because it was a very dramatic episode.
Dramatic. And
it was
magical.
It was very magical and dramatic and very...
I'm going to see how long we can do a whisper. We can do a whisper show here.
It's starting to hurt my throat.
But you know what? They were very tense, and I think to make their point, they had to dramatically whisper to each other, especially Nyssa and Oliver.
Oh, I was going to say it was Malcolm, because he's always so dramatic.
Oh, yes. He doesn't have the whisper going there, though.
He
has the stage voice.
Yes, he does. John Barrowman very much projects.
Absolutely.
He's standing in this crowd of people, and it's like, I want to make sure everyone here hears me, Oliver.
and if he doesn't, it just wouldn't fit. It just wouldn't be him. I wouldn't buy it.
Bigger than life.
Yes.
So yeah, the 50th episode. Wow, they are on their way to syndication here.
Oh, how many episodes do you have for syndication usually? Or is it like three seasons worth or something?
It's usually, I thought it was 100 episodes. So it's usually like the fourth and a half season.
Oh, okay.
I think it's 100 episodes. So, because it was kind of like, I remember thinking when Clone Wars finally got to it, it was around there. It was around sometime in the fifth season. It was early in the fifth season for them, because they do a few more episodes per year, so that's why it's usually right early in the fifth season, I guess, because each season is about anywhere from 22 to 24 episodes. So
that gives them plenty to show if they're showing it like 5 days a week. That gives them
5 days a week at 7 and 11, you know, with reruns on Fridays or whatever TBS or whoever it is does.
Well, the show's got, it's still building momentum and positive reviews from both fans and critics, so I don't see any reason why it wouldn't make it to 100 episodes and more.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, I want them to do the 5 years. I want them to do 5 years because I want to see their full idea for what's happening on the island. Quick side note, I'm helping a guy at work. He decided, he was ill the other week, so he's like, I decided to start binge-watching Arrow, so I watched the first season in, like, you know, 3 days. I'm like, good, what'd you think? He's like, oh, yeah, it got really good. And then season two starts, and he's like, I don't know, I'm not crazy about this whole him not killing people things. And I'm like, well, just keep with it. And then he's like, 7 episodes, and he's like, what? Malcolm's not dead? And I'm like, yeah, this is what happened. So it just, you know, keeps going up from there. So he's definitely on the roller coaster. I think he's hooked now. So he might be caught up by the end of this weekend.
Excellent. Yes, I've gotten several people hooked on it as well, so that they started from this first episode.
Well, so why don't we just go ahead and get into this? Why don't you tell us what we are discussing today?
Well, as you said, this was episode 50. From the whole series, but it was episode 4 from season 3, and it was called The Magician, aired October 29th, 2014. And this particular one was written by Mark Guggenheim, our friend here at the show, and also Wendy Miracle. So nice job to both of them. Directed mm-hmm. by John Baring, right? But called The Magician. Let me give you a little rundown of what it is, and then we have a lot of good things to talk about in this episode.
Hey, rookie! Watch me pull an arrow out of this assassin! Nothing up my sleeve! Presto!
Ah, Boo-Winkle, that never works.
No doubt about it. I gotta find another suspect.
That's right, because Malcolm Merlyn, you know, he is back in town. And he is ready to, Well, he, actually, he's not really doing anything. He's ready to tell our heroes that he's totally innocent. Not that Nissa Al Ghul believes him now. She and Laurel, they're convinced that Malcolm has killed Sarah, that he was the culprit that they've been looking for. And Nissa, she's even willing to kidnap Thea Queen to lure him out. You know, but Oliver, he's no longer a killer, and he's not going to just let Nissa or anyone else just kill somebody in his town. Not even with pressure from Laurel. But Oliver's dedication to his hero code might just create a very powerful enemy who is ready to go to war with him.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of future tension worked up in this episode.
If I were to pick an alternate title for this episode, I would have called it Lies of Deceit, because everybody was lying. Oliver was lying. Malcolm was lying. Thea was lying. I don't know if Nissa was lying, but Laurel was lying. It was just, it's horrible, people. Come on.
They need to be more honest, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like all these lies keep making bigger and bigger problems. Jeez. What are they teaching the kids these days?
It's good for us, right? I mean, like you said, it provides dramatic possibilities for the rest of the season here, so... Interesting to see what's going on. All right. I got a couple pieces of news here I want to get to before we get into our discussion topics. I don't know if anyone else follows Colton Haynes on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that, but his Halloween costume this year, which I guess it looked like it came out. We saw stuff for it last weekend before the episode aired. It was a little bit before Halloween. A friend of mine, Greg, posted to our Facebook page and said, oh, you got to check out his picture here. And so I flip over, and then there's this green – it's Princess Fiona, right? The ogre from
Shrek.
Shrek. Yeah, and that's Colton Haynes, and it is amazing.
It is. Man, he did the whole thing. Like, I mean, he did, like, facial what do you call those when they apply?
Prosthetics.
Prosthetics, yeah. He's got the big old, you know, chin and the double chin and a nose. And I mean, it looks so natural. He's not recognizable at all.
Oh, he is not recognizable. If you didn't say this was coming from, you know, if he didn't say this was me from my Instagram feed, I would never have known. But, yeah, it's great when you've got a team of makeup artists that you work on or around or with and around and stuff like that. So you can kind of get that stuff done. This is not like a do-it-yourself
I'm going to have to make some good friends of some makeup artists before next Halloween. Be cool to do something like that.
Yeah, there's always cool stuff to be had when you know people in, like, the drama club or the film school and stuff like that when you're going through college. So... And then Captain Stephen Amell had a second run of the F Cancer shirts for his cause to raise money for F Cancer. And so I hope you guys got one, because that completely ran out again. I guess he had done, what is it? He did an original 21-day campaign, and then he did 48-hour relaunch on it. And he says the campaign is now officially over for good. He's not planning on doing any more. But his goal was 500, and it looks like he hit just a little bit over that. It was 45,765.
Okay, there you go. You know, so, a little bonus shirt or two, yeah. Or 40,000.
Yeah, so all this money is going to go through the F Cancer, and... will hopefully help wipe that out. So, and he had new colors for his shirts. There was a green one. So I hope you guys were able to see that through his Facebook. If you aren't following him on Facebook, he's posting all the... I don't know how he has any time for his family or anything else, because he seems like he's always posting on Facebook. But
it's what your iPhone for is, man. That's what it's for.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, when he's in the bathroom and stuff, he just posts.
Yeah. I have a really bad data plan. I only do it when I have Wi-Fi. So
no, yeah.
Anyway, did you get one?
I did not. I did not get one. Couldn't decide where I could wear it. You know, as a teacher, you have to kind of be careful. And since I live in the neighborhood where all my students live, I wouldn't have to wear it. You know, just buying one to support the cause would be good. But
yeah, that's.
But I didn't get
right.
one this time. I'm sure he will do something else in the future to support this cause and a few others that he sometimes takes up, because I'm telling you, that's how he spends his free time is mm-hmm. is helping others. He's a very generous guy.
He is. And yeah, they had a green shirt this time, so I grabbed one of those. I didn't get one in the first run. And my friend Greg that I mentioned earlier, he got one. So we're thinking, well, we can wear them both to work, because he says they can't send us both home, right? So it's like, I'm pretty sure they could. So
we'll let's see. Make you take the shirts off. So
I mean, technically,
that'll
yeah,
be an interesting day at work.
No, nobody wants to see that. So, I mean, it doesn't really say a bad word. It just says F, and then there's a little ribbon, and then it says CK, cancer. You know, it's like, it's Calvin Klein cancer. That's what it is. I don't know what the F and the ribbon is for, but the
I don't either. I don't know.
So. All right, so Sarah's death continues to be investigated in this episode. And we find out, I think we get a little bit more to go on. They're really milking this. I mean, it's great. And I think you and I, we probably were discussing where they are in this episode. I don't know. What was it like? Probably by the second episode. Because we were saying, it's probably this guy. No. Could it be Malcolm? Maybe. Maybe not. Is it Ra's al Ghul? And so we got a lot of other information in this one.
Well, yeah, we got a lot of information of who it might not be, I think, but still I'm still not sure who it is. I don't know.
Yeah, they have given us a lot of people that it couldn't be. I think it's someone that we don't know. I mean, we haven't been provided with enough information. I think we've kind of worked through all of the suspects that might have a reason to attack her.
Yeah, it's in Twin Peaks, though, man. I don't need them to drag it out the entire season. Let's get to who it is and then start worrying about taking care of them.
I think, hang on. I'll get to that in just one second. Let me just give a couple little bits of backstory for this. So we did find out that Sarah had been on League of Assassins business. I wonder if she has business cards, too. You know, it's just like, hey, I have a question. League of Assassins
like after
business.
After she kills you, she just like,
she drops it.
Here's my card, you know, let me know if you need anybody else killed.
Please recommend me to your friends. She'd been there 2 weeks previous.
If you like this assassination. Okay.
She'd been there 2 weeks previous to investigate Merlin actually being alive, and so she had taken some pictures. So Merlin had been in Starling City, and then... I guess if we were to look at the timeline, and then he went back to maybe Corto Maltese for last week's episode, and then is now, and then came back with Thea. So frequent flyer miles for these people have to be insane, too, because they are just traveling all over the place.
And not that this would be like a huge problem, but I'm wondering where Merlin is getting his money now. But then again, I wonder where Oliver's getting his money to, because...
Yeah, he kind of he sidestepped the question in this when Thea asked him, aren't you broke? He's like, aren't you? And so he kind of I feel like he's got a rainy day fund somewhere.
Yeah, either that or, you know, all the criminals he's been taking down, he'll go through their wallets, you know, before the police get there or something. But
I made a promise not to kill, but I still take the money from them.
Yeah, so. They took it first. I don't know where, but it doesn't matter. That's
well, it's just one of those interesting questions that comes up, you know.
Right, right. But you're right. I mean, they both probably had money put away. It's not like they had, you know, Oliver, even in real life, people don't have all of their money necessarily tied to one place. He left Green Consolidated, but he might have other accounts. So
even if he had stock, it could still be worth something.
Sure, anyway. Sure. So apparently, Malcolm was in Starling City. Did they mention why they thought he was there? Or, I mean,
no. It's just that. So previously, we had known that Nyssa and Ra's al Ghul knew that he was alive. So I guess they found out he was. I don't think they mentioned why, but that he was back in Starling City. Sarah went to investigate on League business. So we can assume that Ra's al Ghul or someone. You know, on his behalf, asked her to go, right? Would that, is that a good assumption?
That's what I would think.
Okay. So they, you know, so let's just say Ra's al Ghul sent her to Starling City to check this out. She comes, she sees some people, she takes some photos, she makes these weird notes, she talks to her dad about, was it Jenkins, I think? Is that the guy's name? Jansen.
Jansen, yeah.
And then she goes up on the roof to meet somebody or just happens to run into somebody and recognizes them and then gets killed. So we spend a bunch of the episode thinking that Malcolm did it, or at least that's what the writers want us to think based on what they're telling us here. But Oliver, after talking to Malcolm, you know, having a nice little one-on-one, heart-to-heart in the middle of this square, believes that Malcolm actually did not kill Sarah. Do you believe Malcolm?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes. Several reasons. And I never bought that he did it in the first place. And I don't know if this is just because of the way they filmed it and wrote it, but I never... You know, I didn't see any evidence of him actually being in Starling City when it happened. So I just assumed he wasn't even there to begin with. But then, you know, his explanation to Nyssa, you know, I didn't kill your beloved! Anyway, it made sense to me. Why would he? I mean, he's trying to hide from the League. He doesn't want to...
Yeah, like you said, I mean, if he did that, he would basically be incurring Ra's al Ghul's wrath... twofold.
Well, what would his motive be? I mean, I guess they don't necessarily have to reveal a motive anyway, right away. I mean, we still don't know why whoever did it did do it, but what would be Malcolm's motive? Why would he need to kill Sarah?
Well, she was tailing him.
I see. Just to...
I mean, yeah, so, you know,
her,
she came on League business because they found out he was alive. He obviously has a good ear to the ground in Starling City still. Right, because
sure.
He knows what's going on. So it also makes me think that he actually may know who did it. But, of course, nobody's even thought to ask him that.
That's true.
If you didn't do it, then who did? Oh, well,
you
yeah, here.
Okay, all right. Well,
here's their name. Here's their number.
Could you recommend anybody? Or yeah. Did they leave a card?
Yes. Well, I don't know. He seems, and this is just the way John Barrowman plays him, he seems so forthright. I mean, because he is so animated about, you know, proclaiming his innocence, and then he, you know, I'm trying to decide whether he's trying to play Oliver by saying, well, if you don't believe me, believe Nyssa, and then he's like, you know, then you got to kill me. But Oliver, you took a vow of not killing people anymore. So, you know, he's twisting it with Oliver there. I mean, I feel that there's a lot of
manipulation, man. He's doing what bad guys do. But there's another reason right there to believe him, and we have talked about this before, but he is the bad guy, and quite honestly, when has Malcolm lied? Malcolm doesn't lie. He tells you the ugly truth. Now he has. I mean, I guess not necessarily lied, but he has omitted things. He hasn't given Thea the full truth, I think. Because Thea doesn't know that Oliver is Theo, does she?
No, she still... Well,
at least
as far as we know...
Not that we're aware of.
Right, not that we're aware of, right. It's never been on screen. And I would... you know, she knows Roy is working with the Arrow, so she knows Roy is dressing up and running around with this crazy dude and stuff like this, and she seems to be okay with that. And this whole thing gets really complex here, obviously.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that he is being truthful about this. I'm still thinking that it might be Amanda Waller, except just for the fact that we don't know how good she is with a bow and arrow. But you know, that was because those were what, two or three pretty clean shots on Sarah.
Sure. Well, and this is kind of crazy too, but. And you might have to help me. I may be way off on this because it's been so long since we saw anything of her. But do we know whatever happened to China White?
She was working with Bronze Tiger. I think it was early second season. And I think I don't actually recall. Maybe she was...
And the only reason I bring her up is because she shows up in a flashback.
Yeah.
And why bring her up in a flashback if she's not going to have some sort of consequence in the present day? Because they do that a lot. You know, they do the things that have happened in the past make connections. I'm not saying that that's who did it, but it's another name on the list now for me.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, maybe in the we don't have a week off. It seems like all of our other podcasts are going to take a week off, but we got an episode next week. Maybe in the next week here we can do a little reconnaissance and find out what happened to China White.
Yeah, and I should have looked into that before, but I didn't think about what had happened to her. I just thought, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I forgot about her. So
the reason I thought she was in the flashback is because obviously she caused a lot of problems for Oliver in the first and second season and for Starling City. She was running the drug trade there in the first season. So, I mean, it's like, look, you didn't let Waller shoot this plane down and kill all these innocent people, but you also, you know, basically saved this criminal that then you had a lot of difficulty dealing with in the first season. So, you know, I thought that was where they were going with it, but I like your point that she is someone else that, you know, you can put into the picture here.
Just another name on the list of suspects, but still not real any evidence pointing towards her necessarily. But either way, I don't think it's Malcolm, and he's being moved to the side, or at least to the bottom of my list as far as who I think it might be.
All right. So now Malcolm seemed to intimate that it might actually have been Ra's al Ghul that killed Sarah, because he was talking about what was the line? It was something about incurring the wrath of him. It was basically at the end where
that's why he wouldn't do it, right?
Right, because he didn't want to incur that. But it seemed to me that he was also kind of intimating that Ra's al Ghul might actually have killed her in some fashion. So, it's an interesting misdirect, I think, because I don't see him going out doing a lot of stuff on his own, given that he's been sending Nyssa and Sarah out to do things, and Alawal, the guy from last season who he sent to capture Sarah, and then all the other henchmen and people that have come from the League.
Well, and the other thing there is, I guess not motivation so much, because I guess that's what Malcolm said, you know, because he had stolen Nyssa away from, or, you know, Sarah had stolen Nyssa away from him. Or not stolen, I don't remember what he said, but why come all the way back to Starling City to kill Sarah because of that? Why not just wait until she comes back? She was planning on coming back as soon as she was done in Starling City to the League, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she only was there for a short time investigating Merlin's death, so why not just, if he wanted to kill her, why not just do it when she got back? I just don't see why he would do that in that fashion. Ra's al Ghul is a very efficient killer, and, you know, they plan things out.
Yeah.
Just doesn't fit for me.
What Malcolm said was, you know, he was screaming, basically. I did not kill your beloved. And then he goes on to say that your father doubted Sarah's loyalties the moment you brought her home. You know your father, talking to Nyssa, what he is capable of. He will kill without hesitation. Do you really need me to tell you what he would do to the degenerate who would steal his daughter's heart? And in that line, that's where I feel like Malcolm is saying that, you know, Ra's al Ghul might have been responsible. Using the word degenerate, because, I mean, obviously, Sarah and Nyssa are in a same-sex relationship, so, which I don't know, that is kind of strange, because it would mean, like, if Ra's al Ghul recognizes the relationship, then, all right, why is he upset with the degenerate that it would steal his daughter's heart versus his daughter? You know, I mean, wouldn't he just say, you know, you can leave as well or something like that. I don't know.
Sure. Well, I would think if that would be the case, he'd be mad at him both, but he's not going to kill his daughter, and he still probably would kill, you know, his daughter's lover in that case. But taking care of everything, you know. But, I don't know. I think – and not only this, and again, it's possible we don't know something that is going on here, but how would Malcolm even know who killed Sarah? I mean, nobody else knows, and unless he was actually there, which we're assuming he was in Corto Maltese because, you know, Oliver and everybody went down there right after that, pretty much. But and we saw him there. Oliver didn't see him there. Doesn't mean he couldn't be there, and it doesn't mean he wouldn't know somehow. But I'm not seeing any evidence that he would even know who did it.
I'm wondering if we're going to get another scene on the roof and, you know, we're going to find out that he's hiding behind the drain pipe or something like that and he sees what's going on.
He was just up there for a smoke, just taking a break, you know, heard something.
I mean, like I said, he's got his ear to the ground. He knows what's going on in his city, he says. And he obviously has a lot of people that are still loyal to him, as the Team Arrow discussed, you know, obviously has somebody in the coroner's office that helped with the body. So who knows what else might be going on.
All right. So, well,
I guess we'll find out.
And I'm definitely not saying I'm any expert. I'm not sure, which is just fine for me for now. Another episode or two of just keep leading me down the way and giving me evidence. But I don't know. I can't tell. I don't think it's Malcolm. I don't think it's Ra's al Ghul. I'm not sure about anybody else yet.
Okay. All right. So we've got, we think Malcolm may be telling the truth here, and it seems like the case, but there are a lot of other people that are lying in this episode. Thea is lying to Oliver now a lot, and I'm finding this really interesting because obviously Oliver he's taking the tack of, I'm not, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth from now on, though again, he's not completely telling her the truth, so he still really is lying. I mean, he's still digging a hole, but Thea is really laying it on. I mean, she hasn't let Oliver know that she knows about Merlin being, you know, that she's been meeting with him, that he's been training her and all this sort of stuff. She's really playing it close to the vest.
Yeah, well, and out of everybody on the show, I would say that she is probably the best liar so far. Because she actually acts like she doesn't know anything, and she doesn't come up with some weird, lame excuse. She just pretends like she doesn't know what's going on, and they all buy it.
Designer, Kurt. It's like, oh, okay. And then, hi, Dad.
I think, though, and this is just my theory, all this lying is taking a toll on her, I think. I think it's causing her to lose a whole lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Her pants don't seem to fit anymore. They're falling down. Her stomach's always showing. You know, I really think this lying's hard on that character. You know, she needs to take care of herself.
She should. Yeah, she needs to pack some pounds back on then.
Her shirts are shrinking in the laundry. I guess they've decided that the costumers have decided that that Thea needs to show off a little belly in this season. So
yeah.
It's working for her, though.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic that they're setting up. I mean, it's kind of difficult to keep track, just like we're trying to keep track of who knows Oliver's secrets, you know, because we obviously know a lot more things than you have to remember every time he's interacting with somebody. Okay, do they know that he's the Arrow, or do they know this lie? And then the same thing's happening now with Thea. It's like, all right, so what does... I mean, I thought there were some great moments between her and Oliver. I mean, they're connecting again, which is nice, but it's the basis for their relationship is totally shot. I mean,
I think he's connecting with her again, but I think it's all an act for her. I think she's pretending to connect with him. I don't think she's forgiven him.
Do you think there's that kind of just she's seething under the surface? She's still really mad and all?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, just based on the fact that she's keeping him in the dark on just about everything, and then, you know, they'll
they'll walk away out of the scene, and then she'll turn or something, and her face just goes stern again. I think that's why I think she's such a good liar, is because she can pretend to look like she cares more than she does.
I think the biggest problem in this, and Oliver obviously has not thought about it, and it popped into my head almost immediately when she's like, well, you know, I still got some money. Actually, I've got investors. I'm going to reopen the club. About, you know, I'm going to buy the foundry from Queen Casella. And he's like, that's awesome. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. You're still using it as a base. So the chances of her finding out you're the Arrow this season have just gone up exponentially.
I'm wondering what she thinks is behind that door.
Does
she just never goes in that door in her own club? Is that, she's just never been down there?
I don't know. But having Roy around, I mean, it's like, how do you justify having Oliver and Felicity and Diggle around? Because remember, also, Oliver told Diggle not to go to run to do perimeter work because he didn't want Thea to see him. And I'm assuming that's because if Thea sees Diggle, then that's going to lead to questions like, why was Diggle here? Oh, because as far as I think we know that Thea knows, Diggle is still just Oliver's bodyguard. Right?
I guess. Why would he still have a bodyguard? I just figured they'd be like friends or something. I don't. I mean, they haven't really mentioned that.
I mean, that was kind of how it's. I don't even know. I can't remember the last time like they were all together. It's, again, it's like who knows what, when. It's.
Well, some of that stuff you just kind of have to take as is and assume there's some sort of logical explanation. Because there could be. You know, you could come up with lots of excuses. I mean, maybe they're just good friends now, but
right. But anyway, he didn't want.
But if Thea saw, you know, Oliver and Roy and Diggle and Felicity all walking up from the basement of her club one day, hey Thea, what's up? You know, I mean that would start to look suspicious. Especially she knows that Roy's working with the Arrow,
right? And then we've got Laurel, who's also hanging out with them too. Especially in this episode, now she's been hanging out with Team Arrow a little bit more. She's a big fat liar too. She is complicit in not telling her dad about Sarah's death, which I thought that was kind of the lamest excuse that she gave to Nyssa. It's like, I can't tell him, he's got a heart condition. It's, I don't know. I mean,
really, you think that was lame? See, I kind of bought that. I'm kind of thinking the same thing. I'm like, he needs to know, but man, I'm afraid it will kill him.
It's a little less lame than somebody dying of a broken heart.
Yeah,
but it's not even really corny. It's just trite, I guess. I don't know. It's just
it's
like, oh, I can't tell them because, you know, they're going to have a coronary. I mean, like, literally, he's going to have a coronary. It's like, I think he can handle it. And he's a detective. I mean, he's calling his daughter's cell phone now, leaving messages. He's going to figure it out at some point on his own.
Oh, maybe. He's not the only one in Starling City that doesn't know Oliver's D'Arrow, so.
Well, and, you know, I mean, I think they, granted, I think if he really stopped and thought for a second, put two and two together, he would figure it out. But as we found out last season, he really doesn't want to know.
He doesn't want to know, yeah. So, well, I agree with you. And the longer that Laurel keeps this from him, the bigger the problem it's going to be. Because now he's, you know, it's been long enough now, he's going to say, hey, you know, why didn't you tell me? And he's going to have some problems with Laurel.
Yeah, I mean, in like 2 months, it's going to be like, that's weird. I didn't get a Christmas card from your sister. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, Dad. She died. In September.
Happy holidays from the league. It's just like, it's like her in her black coat, but a Santa hat, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to, she's got to tell him. She's got to tell him soon. Heart condition or no. And right. he'll be okay. She's just got to make sure it's in the right situation and context. You're absolutely right. He does need to know. and she's not a good liar, not nearly as good as Thea. She comes up with those excuses right at the last second.
Quentin, you mean?
No, Laurel. Laurel comes up with
right. Sorry, yeah.
So she's not a very good liar to him. And she keeps trying to tell him and then changes her mind. But
it was, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was that that sort of little television thing that they do where it's like, I've got something really important to tell you. Yes, Laurel, go ahead and say it. And then she's like, and then his phone beeps. He's like, I'm sorry, I got to set this thing so I take my medicine. Anyway, you were going to tell me? And she's like, oh, no, don't worry about it, Dad. It's like, oh, jeez, come on.
I just want to tell you, your hair looks really good today, Dad. Thanks.
I do agree that the longer it goes on, like, the worse it's going to be. I mean, and that's with anything. So all you kids out there, listen, you know, it's like, you know, the longer you sit on something like this, you know, the worse it's going to be for everybody, you and the person you're lying to. So.
Well, and to keep this show from having that storyline turn a little soap opera-y, she needs to tell him. They just need to deal with it. It's life or, you know, death, I guess. Yeah. They need to deal with it. And they need to find out who this murderer is so they can get back to more superheroing instead of, you know, detectiving. Because that's more what the show is about, I think.
Yeah, we need some bad guys on the show.
Yes, exactly.
We were bad guy light well, this week.
And that's the thing, is if they find out who this is, they got, you know, you got yourself a bad guy.
Got to track him down, her or her down.
And find out what their ultimate plot is.
Yeah. All right. So coming to the kind of conclusion of the episode, Oliver and basically has, well, Oliver had Merlin in his sights a couple different times throughout the episode. Laurel is getting the bloodlust. She is really, you know, she 2 weeks ago she was, or was it last week? She was ready to go after Komodo, and she basically pulled a gun and fired it on him. It just was lucky he didn't have any bullets. And she seems to have forgotten about that, and she's like, okay, oh, Malcolm did it. Kill him. And it's like, Oliver's like, no, just chill out, you know. I put these tracing nanites on him. It's like, okay, that's what? And then
first appearance of the tracer arrow there, by the way, too.
Yes. Which nice. Obviously did not work very well.
Well, no.
I mean, I think it worked, but it just obviously Malcolm is too smart to fall for something like that.
Sure, sure.
But he gets him in his sights at the end, and he decides to keep with his code, Oliver does, of not killing people, even though, I mean, he would have been within his rights to, I think, kill Merlin for any number of other things. See season one, the death of all these other characters and the undertaking and everything like that. But he decides not to take him down. Do you think Oliver was right not to kill Merlin?
Yes. I do think he was right not to kill him. But for crying out loud, you could go ahead and stop him still. You know, he's
right.
He's still guilty of the undertaking and killing hundreds of people and many, many other crimes. So he's there. You know, get out your boxing glove arrow or your tying your ankles arrow or something and stop the guy. I mean, you don't have to put an arrow in his head. Stop him.
But Malcolm was saying, it's like, you can't even imprison me because, A, I'm with the league and there's no prison that can hold us. And, you know, if you call the cops and have me arrested for this, it's like, I'll be out. And then, you know.
Okay, so we're not even going to try.
Right.
Next time, if I'm ever out, you know, if I get a ticket, I'm just going to tell the cop, you know what, there's no point in giving me a ticket. I'm just going to get out of it. You can't arrest me. There's nothing you can do. And he'll let me go, right?
Right.
Is that
I'm
cool?
Pretty sure that's how it works.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to give that a shot.
I would not be surprised. What I would like to see is, okay, here's the way it should play out. Because he's like, you know, even your prison that you've set up on Lian Yu can't hold me, which is where they put
Slade
last season. So he's like, okay, cool. Well, I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to put you in the prison. And I'm honest. I can't kill you. I told you I wouldn't do this. Hey, Slade, this guy says you're kind of stupid looking. And then let Slade beat the crap out of him.
Let somebody else do the dirty work.
Yeah,
for you,
I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, like, Nyssa didn't take that. And it's like, see, but the thing
it's
is,
like Malcolm told me your girlfriend was ugly.
Oh, there you go.
See, that
that'll really
do
set
it.
Him off.
Yeah.
She was good, too. but he doesn't even let Nyssa take care of it. Like, Nyssa didn't make any such promise. And he's like, everybody just back off. While Malcolm is in my city, he's under my protection. It's like, whoa. You are like, you are taking this to an entirely different level now, sir. And that is problematic because.
Well, yeah. Oliver, he does this. You know, he takes.
Absolutes.
He takes things to the. Absolutes. Where, you know, I'm doing this way, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, there's alternatives. Okay, it's not like kill him or let him go. There's
right.
shades there. And you know, he has always done this as a hero. He's always, like, even back when he was trying to keep people from failing the city, you know, and he had his dad's list. He was just going to go kill everybody on the list. I'm like, well, let's find out some more about the list. Maybe you don't want to kill everybody on the list. Oh, by the way, your mother's on the list. You don't want to do
that.
So, you know, that's – I think that's sort of – that's within character of him. And I agree. I mean, if he's not going to kill him – if he's not going to kill Merlin, then – I mean, that's the same thing. Letting Nyssa kill him, that would be just as bad. So I'm okay with that too. But –
So it's like Asimov's three laws of the arrow. It's like,
I guess,
you know,
so, yeah.
I cannot let harm come to Merlin or let someone else harm Merlin or something like that.
Yep. And what would be the third one? I don't know. I cannot.
Yeah. So he makes this kind of proclamation in front of Nyssa that, you know, the League of Assassins needs to back off because he's under my protection. So she goes home and it's like, Dad, Oliver says we can't kill Malcolm. And he's like, and you know, Ra's al Ghul, we don't know too much about him, except that he likes to take baths while other dudes watch him, which is kind of weird.
Don't judge.
But he then, you know, comes up and he's like, well, then it is war. And what? Dude, you're taking it to a pretty big extreme there as well.
Maybe we just need to have like a superhero seminar. You know, and explain to them how it doesn't always have to be absolute. There's compromises, and
have them all sit down at the Hall of Justice, and
yes, we could get somebody to mediate. You know, I don't know, minor superhero.
Laurel's a DA. I mean, she could. No, actually, well, she's biased.
Yeah, no, she's still going to break a guy's arm if she needs something. I don't understand why. You know, why so severe? Why does it have to be war with Oliver? I mean, just go hunt down Merlin and kill him and leave Oliver to keep protecting his city. I mean,
what's he going to do? Like, is he going to come after the entire League of Assassins now?
Yeah, I mean, and the League has never struck me as people that don't just go ahead and do what they want. The whole interaction between this, you know, Sarah's murder, everything that's kind of going on. I'm a little, I don't believe it yet, I guess, you know, I guess I need some more threads or something to explain exactly why they're making these decisions because they don't seem like very logical decisions. Oliver's and the League's and Laurel's. And, I mean, you know, at least Nyssa was Nyssa. She was just coming for vengeance. She wanted to kill the person that killed, you know, her beloved. So
yeah,
that makes sense.
Revenge is a dish best served cold. Okay. So, well, speaking of threads, this is an interesting piece here because I don't think television shows waste footage just to show stuff, just, you know, because.
Right. Well, it's definitely not this show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the show is really about economy of shooting and stuff, especially when it comes to the fight scenes. But when Team Arrow is entering the Buddhist monastery, they're all, you know, coming in, they're sneaking in, they're hiding from the monks going by, and then Diggle and Roy find, and I think Nyssa as well, find the gravestone for Kenji Jansen. which I don't know. That seems like a weird name. But
he married into that. That's
so. And then Oliver is sneaking around, and he passes by camera, and the camera refocuses on a spider web with a spider walking around in the center of it at the monastery. I don't know if you noticed this, but I would like to ask you, why would they show us a spider and a spider web at this particular point at the monastery?
Okay, so I have two theories.
Okay.
Both of them may be kind of far-fetched. I might may be stretching.
Oh, Spider-Man?
that was my third one.
Spider-Man 3 was horrible.
I figured if Disney couldn't acquire Spider-Man, DC Comics probably isn't going to get it either.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that'd be a lot better. Anyway, okay, what are your theories?
Well, my first thing is it's a symbol, like so many things in this show, even a lot of times the titles, that it's Oliver is triggering the... What do you call it? You know, there's like always one thread on a spider web that alerts the spider.
That it sits on and kind of feels when the fly lands in it and it vibrates and the spider knows that it's caught something.
Right, exactly. So, I couldn't decide if he's in this web, if he's getting trapped in this web, either Malcolm or the League. I don't think it's Amanda Waller at this point. I mean, I didn't really hear any indication of it in this episode that it would be them. But that was sort of my symbolic explanation for it. My other one was just that, hey, this is how Malcolm Merlyn knows everything. He's just got these little robotic spiders with cameras on them, and he's just spying on everybody. But that one doesn't make any sense. So.
I'd go with the Spider-Man one instead of that
one.
You like the
Spider one? Okay.
Yeah.
that's my thinking is, you know, it's this web of lies and deceit and Oliver's kind of fallen into it. He's right in the middle of it, even though he didn't really need to be, actually. It doesn't sound like it even involves him.
Yeah, I like the idea that it's actually Merlin's web that he's working in, but I got more of a sense that it would be because of the way the reverberations worked in this episode, and the last thing that we see is Ra's al Ghul, I feel that the web is actually more symbolic of the League of Assassins.
Okay, I agree with you, but on the other hand, why was Merlin in the monastery to begin with? Okay, because that's where we saw the web.
That's
true.
We
saw the web with the spider, and Merlin was there. They thought it was Jansen who'd already died, you know, and not recently. It's not like Merlin was there to kill Jansen. Jansen's already in the ground with a tombstone.
Why was he there? That's interesting because was he there just to pop up and go, hey, surprise?
See, I think he was there to get them off of his trail because, you know, I think he either knew that Oliver would find out that he was alive or just said, you know what, let me take care of this while I can, and I'll just let him know I'm alive, so it's out there. And that's why I kind of think it's Merlin's web. Those are the connections.
That also makes sense with other stuff that Merlin said, where he's like, you know, things can't go on, and I was in charge of the city long before you were, like, he knows what's going on and all that.
That's true. He does seem to know more than Oliver.
Well, when it comes to Merlin, Oliver has always been a little bit behind the eight ball on it, just not quite up to speed. I mean, he's still really new at this, comparatively speaking to, I mean, you know, Merlin's been at this for a long time. The League of Assassins have been at this for a long time. Oliver's been at this for, you know, 5 years-ish,
well,
give or take.
Really, yeah, I guess. I mean, really 2.5 years as like a hero.
Right.
But I guess he was involved in it before that.
Yeah, I mean, even just involved in being duplicitous and stuff. I mean, like, he's really standing up for himself in the flashbacks. Like, he, you know, he makes demands of Waller in this episode on the flashback to try to... you know, protect himself and protect Maceo's family, which we know is if Oliver doesn't do what he's supposed to do, then Maceo's family is going to be at risk, which it seems like he's got a good piece of information, but, you know, obviously Waller is telling him he doesn't know who, you know, who he's dealing with, which he never does. He just kind of, I mean, historically, he just kind of jumps into stuff and he never knows who he's dealing with. And then he realizes, oop, I'm in real big trouble now. And
but, see, now that's kind of the burden of being a hero. And, you know, you even put here, I didn't realize having a conscience was a burden. He said that to Maceo. But that is the burden of being a hero, because as a hero, you need to protect. And sometimes that means getting right in there and doing it. You know, a firefighter has to jump right in to the fire and rescue people and save people and help. Whereas somebody with a plan, you know, somebody that has a ultimate goal can be very, very patient. You'll see that with villains a lot. So sometimes Oliver doesn't have the luxury of finding out everything he needs first.
Yeah. He does react more than plan. And if you remember, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So I don't know how that fits in any of this. Maybe that'll be the title of an upcoming episode.
Well, that's on his bumper sticker, on his motorcycle.
On his aerocycle?
Yeah, on his aerocycle.
Was there any other things that you wanted to touch on in the main episode before I get into some of the references here?
Well, real quick, you know, I like that we've been talking about Merlin being the magician because he is so theatrical in his presentation.
His name in League of Assassinees is the magician, right? It's Al Sahir.
League of Assassinees. Awesome. Theatrical.
Arabic, maybe? I don't know. Sorry.
And also misdirection. I thought that was great. So.
Well, he used the smoke bomb. That's total misdirection and theatricality all rolled into one there.
For sure.
That was great.
For sure. So, well, and he's also very skilled in reading smoke.
Oh, because the purple smoke.
The purple smoke. Which was, you know, like you said here, the international symbol for I have your daughter, sister, that kind of thing. It's good that they didn't mistake it for lavender smoke, which just means, you know, your pizza's ready for pickup. Yeah. Sometimes those are very subtle differences in smoke language. Yeah. Overall, you know, I think maybe the weakest episode of this season so far, but there was a lot of good things in it that we can work with throughout the overall storyline. And I look at the overall storyline. I don't have to just look at one episode. I wasn't disappointed, but I'm looking forward to where we go from here.
It did, like I was saying at the beginning of our podcast here, it did clarify some things for us about the death of Sarah. And, you know, it gave us a little bit more of Laurel, you know, moving up and kind of dealing with her issues, working some stuff out with Nyssa. Roy, just being Roy. Dart to the neck, and he goes to sleep. So
maybe just try a straight run shot next time instead of flipping
over
the car.
Hey, watch me flip over this car. Oh, boom, down in his face. So,
I also think that the writers had a big challenge here. They may have run out of the letters L, maybe, from writing the word kill so many times in this script. I would love for somebody just to edit together all the times they said kill in this script. I will not kill. You should kill. They must kill. I did not kill. Kill, 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 kill. So,
they need a supercut.
Yes. Yeah.
So to all of our fans out there, if you are skilled in video editing and want to do a supercut of every time somebody said kill in this episode, go ahead and post it to our Facebook page at facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast, and we'll give you credit.
I'm going to have to find out how many. That'll be my challenge. I want to find out how many times they said kill this week. So,
all right. I hope you got a lot of free time. So,
yeah.
What are you doing, honey? I'm just watching how many times they say kill in this episode.
Kill, kill, kill.
Sounds like what's the Alice's restaurant? I want to kill, kill. All right. So some of the references from this episode, we actually hadn't mentioned this yet, but Of course, Merlin being listed as the magician. Bazinga, right? That was the in the court of King Arthur, Merlin was the magician. So that makes a lot of sense. In the comic books, the character of Ken G. Jansen was a sensei at a monastery, much like in this one. But it was one where Oliver and then his son Connor ended up training in the comics. Now, we got some feedback from Ken on our Facebook. You wanna talk about this one?
Sure, yeah. Now, he was mentioning a cafe, I guess. Is it? Would you call it a cafe, I guess? The Grind and Jolt? From Arrow. Okay, so let me read you his message here. He said, I just watched the latest Arrow episode. It was pretty cool. Thought it was interesting that the cafe Oliver meets Thea in, which was 21 minutes in the show, the Grind and Jolt, is the same one. Now, the latest episode, that would have been, let's see, what was the name of that episode? Was that...
Going Rogue from The Flash.
From The Flash, right. But from the episode of Arrow, was that Cordo Maltese?
Oh, no, it was this episode. It was The Magician here.
Oh, that was this one. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't remember when we got
this.
They
all run together.
Yes, they do. Anyway, the Grind and Jolt is the same one from The Flash, in which it is instead called CC Jitters. CC standing for Central City, I'm assuming.
Yes.
And that's where they hold their trivia event in the Flash episode. I found this interesting, and I wondered how much set sharing might go on. Any insights? I don't have any insights yet. Do you?
Other than the fact that, yeah, they probably do share the same buildings and stuff for shooting episodes and stuff like that, I would think this might go on more than normal. I'm sure some of the warehouses and stuff like that are probably very similar, because I think The Flash had a couple interior shots of a warehouse that were similar to some stuff we've seen in Arrow. So we may see these again. I will be posting a photo up here on Facebook showing the cup and the name and everything like that, so you guys can take a look at that. I don't know if anyone notices any other duplicate sets from these shows or other shows that might be using the same locations. That would be interesting. Shoot us a note. When Felicity returned on this episode, because she was visiting The Flash on Tuesday night's episode, she was wearing the same dress from the end of The Flash episode, so great continuity there.
It wasn't the sexy black strap dress.
It was not the sexy black dress. No. It was the flowery kind of white and black dress.
No, but also a nice dress, but, you know.
She went through, I don't know how long she was supposedly gone, but she went through like 5 or 6 costume changes on The Flash.
She packs a big suitcase when she travels.
She does. At the end, when Ra's al Ghul is introduced, he comes up out of a pool, which is most likely referencing the Lazarus Pit. And the Lazarus Pit is a pool in the comic books that heals and strengthens the user, can bring people back from the dead or from near death, and gives them usually a short amount of increased strength. So, you know, maybe it's not too late. Maybe they can rush Sarah over to Nanda Parbat and drop her in a Lazarus pool, and she could be healed.
I'm thinking it may be too late.
And then the square that... Malcolm meets Oliver and is called Nelson Square, which may possibly be a reference to DC writer E. Nelson Bridwell, who worked on Mad Magazine, but he had also done a lot of other comic books and writing and editing for DC Comics, who owns the Mad imprint. I could not find a specific Arrow or Green Arrow storyline that he'd ever worked on, but there is possibility that he had done something with that at some point.
Sure. Oh, next week he's going to arrange one of those mob dances. What do you call the, you know, Malcolm Merlin's going to get out in the Nelson Square and just start dancing.
Oh, like a flash mob dance.
Flash mob, yeah, there you go. So.
I was going to say, Oliver's pretty much taking care of the mob. I don't think there's anybody left.
No, yeah, he's it's time to, you know, he doesn't mind being out in public, clearly, so.
Yeah, but again, it's very theatrical and... You know, meeting in a public place and stuff like this, but it's safe, I guess. So, next week, episode 51. We're on the back half of the 50s here and heading downhill towards 100. And we're probably coming up on a break pretty soon. I think we've got two or three more episodes before they take a break. So we'll see what they've got.
And I think next week we're going to get a villain of some kind, it looked like, from the trailer. I won't mention that here.
Okay. I think I missed the trailer. I don't remember. I was so busy working on my Halloween costume while I was watching this episode. It really didn't sink in. I had to watch it at least two more times to try to figure out what was going on.
And if you haven't seen Jay's Halloween costume, make sure you check out our Scarlet Velocity Facebook page because it was fantastic.
I went as a cardboard box Flash. So you can see that at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast. And there's a little video over there now, too. So anyway, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice. So thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks very much. We hope you had as much fun listening as we did talking about it. And we would love to hear some feedback for you. So pop over on iTunes there. Leave us some feedback. Or if you'd like to send us an email, you could send us an email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. We're also on Twitter @GreenJusticePod. Or like Ken did, you can get on Facebook and leave us a message over there. Post something on our page, facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
And you can check out the other podcasts that Josh and I do, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which are also available at randomchatter.com. They'll both be off next week while those shows take a break, but we will be back here for Green Justice. And also, all shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends and retweet and share. And basically just get our name out there. We love to see all of the comments that people come up with. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.